Morning, everyone. We were at a wedding yesterday, and at the reception, the bride's family said to Jim, "Thank you, that was a beautiful service." Then they turned to me and they said, "And I'm guessing you're Naomi." So for those of you who haven't met me, you probably feel like you know me pretty well through Jim sharing every detail of my life in his weekly sermons. But it's okay, because my dad is actually a Baptist minister. So I've grown up as the subject of sermon illustrations. I'm used to this. But I do wear many hats. Jim's wife, mum to the girls. And I'm also a teacher, which is one of my favourite parts of my life. And that's something I want to talk about today, if you could put the PowerPoint up. I've called today's message, Nurturing God's Potential. Because when I first trained to become a teacher, one of the first things my lecturer taught me was this, if I have the next slide. The word education actually comes from the Latin word educare, which means to draw out. Just think about that. Education means to draw out. Because often we can think that bringing up children means putting our knowledge and our wisdom into that child. But the Bible tells us God put his image into our children. It tells us in Psalm 139 that God made us in our mother's womb. And so actually, it's not about us putting our knowledge into the child, but our role as parents or guardians, aunts, uncles, friends, teachers, members of our church family, it's all about nurturing and drawing out those seeds that God has planted in his children. It's all about drilling out what God's put there and nurturing that potential. And like many things in our faith, Jesus sets an example for us of this in the Bible in Matthew chapter 16. And the girls are going to come and help me read this. We're reading from the Message Bible. It's Matthew 16 and it's starting at verse 15.
Can you see that? Yeah. He pressed them. "And how about you? Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter said, "You're the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God."
Jesus came back. "God bless you, Simon, son of Jonah. You didn't get that answer out of books or from teachers. My Father in heaven, God himself, let you in on the secret of who I really am. Now I'm going to tell you who you are, really are. You're Peter, a rock. This is the rock on which I'll build, put together my church. A church so expansive of energy that not even the gates of hell will be able to keep it out."
You are Peter, a rock on which I will build my church. Have you ever thought about Jesus' choice of disciples? We think about them as being these mature and wise church elders, people that he could rely on to help him with that important mission of spreading his message and starting the church. But actually, I once heard someone describe them as Jesus' youth group. And when you think about it, they were far from perfect. As we go through the Bible, we see they fell asleep when Jesus asked them to pray for them. As in our days of youth work, we saw that a lot, didn't we, Jim? Yeah. Soul survivor. They were deep in the spirit, fast asleep. They kept asking him questions all the time, question, and they just didn't get it. I'm reading through the New Testament at the moment, and I just see them asking the same question over and over again. They kept bickering and falling out with each other. Who's the most important? Who's going to sit at the right? And Peter, who's just been called a rock, he got a temper that was so bad, he cut someone's ear off. Not the best group of disciples at all. And when it got really tough, they forgot all about their promise and they ran away. When you look at it, they were not the 12 men that we would choose to lead our church. But Jesus saw things differently. When Jesus chose his disciples, he didn't see what was there. He saw the potential that God had put inside them. And when he gave Simon that new name, Peter, he explains why. He saw that underneath that temper and that uncertainty, there was a strength that came from God, and he gave him the name before he showed those characteristics because he was nurturing that potential in him. If we think about the story that we see in the New Testament, perhaps Jesus understood why Peter was such an angry man. He'd had a really tough life as a fisherman, and maybe he was quite hardened by life's trials, and that's what made him that way. But Jesus didn't see him as he was then. He saw the way that God had made him to be, the potential he had in the future. And this is one of my favourite things about being a teacher, is seeing that potential coming through in children's lives. If we go back to Genesis, right at the start of the Bible, when God looked at his creation, he saw it was good. When God looks at every one of you, he sees it as good. And in my experience as a teacher, I genuinely believe that no child is inherently bad. There's always something difficult and often awful that's happened that leads to the behaviour that I see in the classroom. And my challenge every day is to see the potential, to find the good that God's put inside them and to draw it out. I could tell you lots of stories about the things that I've seen over the years, but one that's always stuck with me was my very first lesson 14 years ago. When I had a girl in my classroom, it was a year 8 class, and she was just a challenge from day one. She found me hilarious when I tried to tell her off, and she made sure the whole class knew how ridiculous I was. It was like her mission was to disrupt my lesson and make my life difficult. I think I heard her say once, I'm going to break her. I'll give it till October, half term. And it would have been easy in that situation to start the war, to show her who's boss and give every bit of discipline that I had. But actually, when I marked her book at the end of the first week, I realised that although she spoke confidently, her literacy actually had a lot of issues, and she was struggling with her writing and her reading. It was absolutely full of mistakes. And I realised that her behaviour wasn't about her challenging me and trying to make my life difficult. It was her frustration that she couldn't get it right and her embarrassment and trying to cover that up. And I realised that this was a girl who didn't need me to punish her. She needed me to help her. So I stuck with her. I actually became a head of year eventually. And a turning point came when she chose her GCSE subjects and she took catering. And suddenly she was in her absolute element. She was the best cook. She used to bake me cupcakes and leave them on my desk. But she could also organise events. She could run a kitchen better than Gordon Ramsay. And she just discovered her potential and her talent. And suddenly everything changed. She wasn't just good at cooking. She was good in all areas of school life because she had a purpose. And she went on to improve her behaviour and pass all her GCSEs. And it was just so amazing to see how finding out what was good at her, what was good for her, helped her to find the confidence to face all the challenges that she'd been avoiding in her life. We've got a professional phrase for children like this. At school, we call them rough diamonds. Got that on the next slide. Now, diamonds, we all know, girl's best friend. But they don't come out of the ground shiny and perfectly stormed. They actually come out in an ugly rock and the diamond is hidden away in the middle. And someone has to carefully cut away through all that tough exterior to reveal the precious stone that we wear in our jewellery. And part of the reason that diamonds are expensive is not because they're rare, although they are, it's because of the long work, all the hard work that takes place over a long period of time to create the diamond that we see. But a diamond cutter never questions the point of his work because he knows the value of what he's doing. He knows that every little cut is contributing to that beautiful gem that's going to be put in someone's ring. And he has to keep seeing that potential as he's cutting through the ugly rock on the outside. So this Father's Day, I wonder, who around you could be a rough diamond? Who's got a gift or a talent that's waiting to be nurtured and brought out from them? But more importantly, what are you going to do about it? Diamonds don't just come out of the rocks by themselves. Someone has to put the work into finding them. And as a church family, that's what we're called to do, is to put the work into each other to help us be all that God's made us. In choosing his disciples and putting together that youth group, Jesus sets us an example. He didn't really need those 12 men for his ministry on earth. He was God. He could have done it by himself. And if anything, they were a bit of a hindrance to him. But Jesus knew that he was going back to his Father in heaven, and he wanted to ensure that people were equipped to continue his work on earth. He understood that good leaders don't just get the job done, they ensure that they pass on their skills to the next generation so the work will continue. He knows that good leaders leave a legacy for the next generation and build them up. But more importantly than that, great leaders don't just choose the obvious candidates to continue their work. They see people through God's eyes, and they work hard to nurture talents that are only potential at the moment. Some of you sitting here this morning heard what I've said and think, that's not me, I've got no talent, I've got no potential. And I want to say to you this morning, that's just not true. The Bible tells us that we're all made in God's image, and we've all got something to give. And maybe you're not a singer, maybe you're not an organizer, but there is something in you that you are uniquely made to do. And sometimes I think that our society is too quick to tell children what they can't do. The school system divides us into those who pass and those who fail. And in that environment, it becomes too easy to give up on ourselves. And I still meet adults who've made choices because they were told they couldn't do something with a child. We need to see ourselves through God's eyes. We won't be good at everything because we're a family where we all need to work together and we all bring something unique. But we are all good at something. And we need to spend time with our Maker, with Father God, to allow him to reveal his purpose for our lives. Just imagine how surprised Simon must have been when Jesus told him that he was his rock. What is it that Jesus is declaring over you today? What potential has he got for you? I want to finish with one of my favorite verses in Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. This is God's words over you. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. God's rejoicing over your life because you are the person he's made you to be. What is God proclaiming over you today? What potential has he got? As we're thinking about Father's Day, let's see ourselves through our Heavenly Father's eyes. Let's see the potential that God has planted in each one of us. Let's see the potential in each other and commit to nurturing it so that we can be the people God's created us to be and the church he's called us to be. I've called this nurturing God's potential. I want us to grow in Christ, and let's grow together. Let's just pray. Father God, I thank you for everybody here this morning. I thank you for the children who've been brought by their families and all the potential they have. And I thank you for the adults as well, the potential that might not have been realised yet. God, help us to see everyone through your eyes this morning. Help us to see the way that you've made us and all that we can be. Help us to see past the tough exteriors, to see that potential hidden beneath. And help us to put in the work to build each other up and to help us continue your work on earth. Amen.